Welcome to the Erica Russo Show, where we dive deep into the realms of personal development, spirituality, and the power of the mind. Join us on a transformative journey as we explore the art of manifesting the life you truly desire, all while listening to your intuition. Join host Erica Russo, intuitive life and business mentor and best-selling author, each week as we'll embark on a quest to uncover the secrets of manifesting abundance, nurturing a resilient mindset, and tapping into the spiritual dimensions that shape our reality. Each episode, we'll bring you insightful discussions, practical techniques, and inspiring stories from experts and seekers alike. Whether you're seeking clarity in your spiritual journey, striving to shift your mindset, or eager to unlock your full potential, this podcast is your guiding light.
What is up, guys? Welcome to the Erica Russo Show. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I am beyond excited to have you here today. And if you are an OG, you are in for a treat. Today's episode, I had the pleasure to reconnect with one of my favorite podcast guests, Allie Lovegood. And, you know, I have to say, from doing this whole podcast thing for almost 6 years now, it's the episodes where we know we are supposed to record, but we don't really know where this conversation is heading. Those are the ones that get the most downloads, believe it or not, but they are also the ones that I get the most feedback from you guys. We started our conversation like talking about a download that I had back in March and how it's kind of transpiring. And then we went to the topic of psilocybin and my microdosing experience and her relationship with magic mushrooms. And it was just wild, man. It was just such a good conversation. We always really just have a high vibe talk. And I'm so excited to share this conversation with you. Honestly, to be completely honest, this is like over an hour episode. And I forgot we were recording at one point for the podcast because we were just going back and forth. But I know you guys are really going to enjoy today's podcast. Before we dive in, I just want to let you guys know that I have two upcoming workshops. One is literally coming this weekend. It is a psychic and mediumship development workshop on Saturday, April 20th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you are ready to just get hands-on and just really get to work and take action on developing your psychic and mediumship abilities, this is where you need to be. This is not a passive course. This is me pushing you off the edge. And as well as, of course, we're going to be learning a lot. This is going to be a great, great experience. I am excited to host it. If you want to come join us, I will leave the link in the show notes for you. But I am also hosting a workshop on May 11th. This is a trans mediumship workshop. So this is more for the experienced reader. These are for seasoned psychic mediums and spiritual readers who are wanting to take the next step into developing their spiritual connection. Again, that's going to be 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on May 11th. I will leave the link to reserve your spot in the show notes for you as well. And there's two other things before we dive in. This is going to be a long episode, guys. Number one, Allie has been so gracious to give all listeners 10% off their purchase at Maze Mystics, which is her crystal store, which is absolutely incredible. I will leave all of that information in the show notes for you as well, so you can go grab some ethically sourced crystals, courtesy of Allie Lovegood. And then, because we're talking about psilocybin and the magic behind it, I will also be leaving a link to grab 10% off your first purchase of Golden Rule Mushroom. This is the company that I have been using, and they're great. I mean, I'm loving it. I know that you guys would love it too. So you can go ahead and grab 10% off your first microdosing experience there. And that's really it. be sure to come hang out with me on Instagram at Erica W. Russo, and be sure to go and follow Allie as well. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. I will see you around the internet. Okay, guys, welcome to today's episode. And I have none other than my dear friend, Allie Lovegood here. How are you, darling?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. So we were talking last week and we basically started saying how crazy the energy has been, the collective energy. And I guess I have to start this off with a story so you guys kind of get the whole picture. On March 12th, I got a very strong download from the council that I work with. It's called the Light Council. And they gave me a pretty accurate download, and they said that I needed to share it on social media. This is not the sort of content that I'm usually sharing on social media, guys. I really had to work through my own ego because I was like, I don't know about this, but they were very adamant with me sharing it. So I did, and it blew up. And what I didn't know was that Allie was going through her own ascension flu at the time, essentially. And so basically, let me share what came through in the download, and then we're going to talk about it. So again, I got this download on March 12th, and the Light Council stated, starting March 13th through July 13th, the collective will undergo a massive purge. We have experienced energetic upgrades like this, 1 to 3 per year since 2021, but never at this level and for this long. What this means, expect to see more projective outbursts, breakups, company downscales, more clients coming to you who hold lower frequencies such as desperation, fear, and victim mentality, and misaligned communications. During this time, there will be a large amount of channels getting upgraded and or activated. This means you may experience another ego death, sleep issues, ascension flu, a shifting of your spiritual abilities, and a natural pulling away from relationships that no longer meet your vibration. Grounding and protecting your energy is crucial during this time, but also may need more anchoring into the Earth's energetic force field after you ground and envision an anchor coming from the root chakra and quite literally hooking into the Earth. Parasite cleanses, water cleanses, and fasting is extremely beneficial during this time, as the frequency of clearing will be powerful and present. That's all I have for now. So that was essentially what came through. And since I posted that, I've had a lot of people reach out sharing what is going on in their life that is really this common theme. And again, I didn't know Allie was dealing with ascension flu at this time. So when she told me, she was like, yeah, I'm like feeling it. I was like, oh shit, this is actually like legit. And it's not that I don't believe what I get. It's, I'm still human, guys. And I'm very, very honest about wanting to be grounded and logical in this work. So I still fight my own ego, clearly. But I was telling Allie, I think I told you, right, about what happened with Froggies and how the crazy. Yeah. Yes. So story time. So again, this download came through. It said more projective outbursts. Okay. So I'm just going to share what they told me to share. On March 14th, so the day after they said that this purge was going to happen, we have owned Froggy Sandwiches for over a decade, guys. We have 5 locations. We have never once had to call the cops, ever, ever, okay? We had a situation at one of our locations where one of the customers acted out and threatened another customer. So we had to take measures, you know, we had to take it into our own hands and call the cops. This person, this customer, let's just say, let's just say this. He talks a lot about guns. He's asked our managers if they carry or not, that he watches gun videos on YouTube after ordering his sandwich. He's very brash. He's very loud. He makes people around him feel uncomfortable. And, you know, when he threatened another customer, essentially, we had to kick him out and we had to get, you know, essentially a restraining order. We've never had to do that before. So when my husband told me this, I'm sitting there like, oh my God, the light council was fucking right. They're not joking about this. And it's funny because I've had other channels reach out to me and say that they've had very similar downloads, that it's not necessarily because we also are going into like a chaotic eclipse season and retrogrades and stuff like that. So I'm not necessarily talking about astrology. I'm talking about the collective energetic force. And this is what, so if you are experiencing these things, okay, if you are seeing more people, I think the outburst thing personally is a big thing. I mean, I've seen it even more in like public. Have you?
Oh yeah, and what's really nice is I'm also seeing very swift justice being done, like almost
Oh, that's
immediate
good.
action. So, oh, goosebumps. So that's really good. It makes me very happy to see like the outburst and then like the consequences and justice is served within like a week period. So it's really nice of what I'm actually seeing on
That's
that.
really good.
Yeah.
And I think too, I think the swift justice coming in, that's really what happens when you purge, right? Like the
Yeah.
purging is like you, like it comes and you're like, it comes and it just doesn't stop until it's done. So it's
Right.
nice that we're seeing it with the behavior of people. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? So what are some things that you would tell people, specifically, like what crystals do you think would be good for this time frame?
Kyanite, for sure. Blue kyanite or black kyanite.
Mm.
Realistically speaking, if you are talking about energetic properties and metaphysical properties, and I don't really get into that as much because it's just a lot of regurgitated information, and then it's like telephone, and then somehow all the misinformation gets all mixed up. But if you're realistically talking about metaphysics and crystal healing, blue and black kyanite are the only crystals that is going to repel any sort of negative energy. So, like you have black obsidian and black tourmaline that will absorb it or repel it. Or absorb it or just like completely put it into the stone until it breaks and you got to put it back to the earth. But if you are talking about metaphysics and you really want something to like keep it away from you, blue and black kyanite.
That's so interesting that you said blue kyanite. That's so interesting because I used blue kyanite for writing my book.
Nice.
I felt like it helped me kind of open myself up and focus, I guess
Yeah.
you can speak. And it was so funny because I had like a sliver, right? Because I had a tiny little sliver and I'm going through my crystals last week and it was broken. It was freaking broken. And I'm like, there's no, like, how did it break? There's nothing on top of it. Like, it's just, so yeah, I guess I have to put it back in the earth.
Bury it. Bury it on your property and do I like to do grids. I don't know if you're into gridding. But I'm really big into grids and I live on 2 acres. So we have different crystals that I have in different areas. And I even made a map of where I placed each crystal so I can continue the grid as they break. And it's really neat that you can do something like that, but always give it back to the earth.
No, I definitely have to do that. That's so interesting. Now, what are the crystals that you now I'm ta now I want to talk about the grid that you have set up. I have wards on my property, but what crystals are you using for your grid?
I have selenite basically at all north, south, east, and west corners. I have blue and black kyanite in different areas like the northwest, northeast, southwest, southeast. I have a big piece of black tourmaline right underneath of my house, underneath of my crawl space. And I also have different crystals, like clear ones, clear quartz, some smoky quartz that I didn't care for the grade from a long time ago whenever I bought them. So I have those also around different parts of trees and shrubs around the property. Not only that, I have copper shavings in different areas of the home too, because if you have selenite and shungite and copper together, the piezoelectric metals from those is all going to help really with the energy properties of your house. Realistically speaking, like I barely have any chemtrails going over my home because of where I've placed certain crystals and how many I have of them all throughout my yard buried.
Interesting. So tell me your love affair with kyanite. Because I feel
My love
it's
affair. It's right
yeah,
here
I can
on my wrist.
it.
Yeah, it's on my wrist. So, what's
Yeah.
really my wholesaler is a dear friend of mine, and I help him out sometimes in Tucson and sometimes in New Jersey. Not so much in Jersey anymore, but out in Tucson, I help out there a lot. So we are doing sales all day long, like 10, 11 an hour sometimes. And he is probably one of the most aligned energetically, like individuals that I've ever met. Like he's just like an open channel. He can tell you an energy of a person immediately. He can tell you whenever you don't feel good. He can tell you when your energy is low. He's amazing. So we were on a live sale one time and he goes, you know what, people are so into meta, and he used to be in the Kabbalah Center, and he's like, people are so into metaphysics, but they realistically don't understand. And in Kabbalah and Judaism, it's all about the metaphysics, right? And again, there's a lot of misinformation of people who haven't really studied. So he's done it all. He's read everything. He's done it all. He's amazing. And he goes, if you really want to repel someone's energy away from you, wear blue or black kyanite. And I was like, you got it. No problem. And I've remembered that since the first time I started working with him. It was so interesting, like the things that you just pick up. But it's like like those gurus or those masters that take like an 8 week course and then they're like, oh, I did this and I do that. That's not even compared to like the 10, 20 years of studying for somebody for metaphysics and things of that nature. So it's like he's just a wealth full of knowledge, so to speak. But blue and black kyanite, like I've always been drawn to it because if you have high quality kyanite, it's going to shimmer and glisten. And that's what I have within my store on my website. You can go in there and you can see, or even like on my social media where I'm showing you like the movement and the eye-catching, mesmerizing, like little fragments of how high quality kind of can be.
Yeah, that's so fascinating to me because honestly, I don't even think I own black kyanite. I had blue kyanite. And I've always said, like, when it comes to protection, black tourmaline. I think, like, a lot of people just go for black tourmaline, right? But when, as soon as you said it absorbs, I'm like, why? It does absorb because it's so hard to clear black tourmaline. Like it is incredibly hard to clear back black tourmaline. When you're clearing your crystals, guys, the ones I noticed, like quartz is pretty easy to clear. Like when you start attuning to the energy, it's like, oh, it doesn't need much to be cleared. But when it comes to black tourmaline specifically, I feel like you have to like triple what you do for any other stone for the simple fact that, like you said, it's a sponge. It's not repelling, it's sucking in. So now I need kyanite.
And it's so interesting too, because like in Atlanta there's like several crystal shops, but none of them are worded. They all have like, we've all seen the Little Mermaid film, right, where Ariel is going through Ursula's lair and she sees all the trapped souls that are just there and they're like in so much pain and everything else like that. When you go into a crystal shop, and this is majority of the population out there, when you go into a goosebumps, when you go into a crystal shop, you look at the crystal and you're like, yeah, it's pretty. And some people are so mesmerized just by the crystal itself. But if they don't know how to read energy, or if they're so oblivious to how to read energy, they're going to be like, I don't want anything to do with that because I can already feel the negativity attached to it, which is the child slave labor, the sex trafficking, and everything else into it. Whenever you go into an ethically sourced and fair trade crystal shop, you're just like, Holy mother, I am in an amazing place right now, and you feel good and you feel like almost high to at that point because it's just like the energy of everything is just so amazing and you know it's clean. And
Oh
an
my God.
ethically sourced and fair trade crystal shop, you're going to feel like, holy mother, I'm on cloud nine.
I love that you brought this up. I love that you brought this up because I have my own story when it comes to metaphysical stores or crystal stores. And this is an episode for another day, but this is an episode for another day. But when I tell you, I love that you brought this up for the simple fact that I, after going into many metaphysical stores, I don't want to buy from about 90% of them for the simple fact that, like she said, none of them are warded. What does warding mean? Okay. Now, someone can own a metaphysical store, right? And they can have a beautiful assortment of tumbled stones and singing bowls and everything like that. But if they do not know how to properly clear and protect this space, it becomes an energetic dumping ground. Okay. I'm going to give you a little story. I had an experience with a local metaphysical store. And they do a lot on consignment. And this store has been there for over 11 years. And there are, I want to say, like seven singing bowls, all metal. Okay. Keep that in mind. Yeah. You should see Allie's face right now. She looks like she's disgusted. She knows.
I cannot hide my face for the life of me. That's my words. I'm very choosy with, but this
Yeah.
is not changing.
Yeah. So anyway, there's one row of like seven metal singing bowls. And these are beautiful. Like some of them are made into bat and everything like that. And every time I walked into this store, as soon as I walked past these singing bowls, and they're all different sizes, I would get a little queasy. And I was like, okay, this is interesting. And then I knew that metal is an absorber. Like it will, you think that black tourmaline is an absorber? Like metal's the same, essentially. And that's why a lot of people that do psychometry, which is like clear when you read the energy of an object, a lot of people prefer metals just for the simple fact that the energy holds on to it. But when I started looking around this metaphysical store, I noticed there were no wards in place. Now, wards can look like amulets, like protective amulets, crystals on all sides of the room. You know, like basically when you practice witchcraft, you kind of know what you're looking for. And they had none of it. And then come to find out that this metaphysical store couldn't even smoke cleanse because the fire alarm would go off and it's in at, yeah. And like the fire department would come if it went off and it's in a shopping center. So they would get fined. So they didn't really even smoke cleanse as well. So it essentially turned into like this energetic dumping ground. And that's a local metaphysical store. And I realized real quick that many people who own metaphysical stores don't ward. Do not have things in place. Do not have things that will clear the energy. And it kind of does turn into an energetic dumping ground. Now, there's another store that I went to in Salem, Massachusetts. I forgot the name of it, but if you ever go to Salem, Massachusetts, it is the store right next to the old burial ground. I shit you not, guys. Yeah. But let me tell you, Allie, dude, I walked into this. So first off, the old burial ground, and I just had a conversation with Becky Gallantine, who's going to be in next week's episode. But I was talking about the old burial ground and how when I was walking through it, I had the sense of the people who are laid to rest there are really not resting for the simple fact that it is a cemetery. It is where people's bodies are laid to rest. And it is a tourist attraction.
Oh my
And
God.
it's a tourist attraction. Yeah, one of the judges is there, buried there from the Salem witch trials. So
Oh my God.
it's just there's like paths in this burial ground that are essentially stomping on the graves. Okay, because we also have to recognize that these graves are, you know, they were from the 1690s, you know, all the way to, I believe, like the 1800s, people are buried there. And earth moves, guys. So, especially when there's traffic on it. That's why when you're driving and you see people like taking pictures and everything and stuff like that, it's because it's natural for things to shift and move. And I always got so queasy. I've only been to the burial ground twice, but I've always been queasy in it. And there's definitely spiritual activity there. So I go in and I'm like, I don't know, I need to get away from this burial ground. I see the store, okay? I go into the store. I shit you not, as soon as I open up the door, I feel like I am encased in like a time capsule.
Oh no.
It was incredible. The wards that these women, because it's a witchcraft store, the wards that these women have in place, I was amazed, especially with so much spiritual activity, quite literally 20 feet away. I walked in and it was just absolute, it was the best energy I've ever felt in a metaphysical store. And I'm walking around and they have the herbs. I don't know if they had crystals, but they did have books. And when I left, I bought a book and I told the cashier, I was like, I gotta tell you guys, like, you guys know what you're doing. Like, you really know what you're doing. I'm to the point where I believe that if you're going to open a metaphysical store, you should at least know how to practice witchcraft, or at least know the basics. At least know the basics. Okay.
I agree with that.
You know, just for the simple fact that, like, you're investing so much into the items that you're selling, you also have to understand the metaphysical of it. You also have to understand energy absorption, you know, because let me tell you, the funny thing is that those singing bowls that I told you about, do you know how long they've been on that frickin' shelf?
Probably 5 years.
Three of them, he said, have been there since he opened 11 years ago. He never sold them. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, I wonder why. I wonder why, because they're beautiful. But like, this is like, go into, okay. And that's another thing too. I believe the stores that I went into in Salem, most of them are owned by witches. You can tell. You can immediately tell who knows how to ward their property properly. It's a different vibe. It is a very different vibe walking into a store that's owned by witches and one that has no idea what they're doing.
You know, I do have to, I have to chime in on this as well because there was a store out in California. Oh God, what is it called? The Crystallarium. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's in Los Angeles. It's absolutely beautiful. And there's specifically just a crystal shop. And whenever you go in there, you feel the love and you feel at home there. And I asked the girl, I said, what do you do? And she goes, we activate the love and the energy within this space. And I was like, that's why you guys sell millions of dollars of crystals every year. That's exactly why it is. She goes, we activate it. And I was like, how many people just go into their house and just think it's just a house. They don't think of it as like a living, breathing thing that's here to protect you. They don't have a relationship with the home or anything else like that. Even other stores. I mean, you go to any crystal shop up in Atlanta, it's nothing's warded. Nothing feels at home. And it feels so like just Ariel going through Ursula's chamber, like just her lair. It feels gross. But I mean, like it's just people really, really need to get back to the basics on really trusting their own intuition and then really building a relationship not only with themselves, but with everything that they do. Everything is intention. So if you have no intention and you're just doing everything on autopilot, that's not realistically a good way to live. So then people can't find their purpose and all this other thing. So it's just like the redundancy of that insanity of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting the same result whenever there's no relationship to be formed. And I think the disconnect between the disconnect between shops that are doing really well and then shops that are struggling because they don't know what to do. The huge difference is like the relationship is formed, it's nurtured. It's like a mother and a child.
And that's just, and that really is the thing is number one, just because there's a metaphysical store, and like I know everyone, as far as small businesses are concerned, I really support small businesses. I truly do. It's quite literally my life. But I do believe when it comes to metaphysical, if you are carrying crystals, oracle cards, books about divination itself. If you are carrying statues of Hindu goddesses, you better fucking know what you're selling. Like I said, I'm not trying to rain on anyone's parade. And like I said, I do need to do like a full episode just talking about my experience with some metaphysical stores that I've come in contact with. But I've quite literally been at a metaphysical store who is selling statues of Kali Ma and Kuan Yin, okay, and Lakshmi. Three very different deities, very different deities, three very different energies. And I've seen the owner of a shop. Someone came with a Kali Ma statue and she goes, "What goddess is this?" He said, "Oh, that's Lakshmi." I looked at him. I was like, no, that's not Lakshmi. That's Kali Ma. And she goes, "Oh, I don't know who that is." I was like, "Well, Google it because that's a, she's not for everybody." You know what I mean? But if you're going to go into this work, you really need to understand what you're selling because people are going to ask questions.
Yeah. And they should.
Especially, yeah, especially when it comes to metaphysical. If you're selling stuff about deities, if you're selling stuff about witchcraft, or if you're selling books about things, at least have a general understanding of things.
Yeah. And then once you're done with that general understanding, dive deep down that rabbit hole as much as you can because the knowledge and the wisdom is endless whenever you put the effort in. And I'm always telling people, give 110% of everything that you do. Because if you're not giving 110, you might as well not even do it at all. Yeah.
For real. And even too, we were having a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and like you said, go all in. Just go all in. Know that this is a never-ending road. It really
Yeah.
isn't. We were talking about, healing and everything like that, and how healing for us is it's never-ending. We're never going to stop. We're never going to stop doing breath work. We're never going to stop trying different things. We're never going to stop allowing ourselves to be the student for the simple fact that it's naive to go into healing thinking that it's one session, one healing session, one breath work experience, and the decades of trauma that are stored within your body are going to be
Yeah.
magically gone. You
Yeah.
have to be gentle with yourself, but you also have to understand that healing is not linear. And I truly believe that, like, even for me personally, I've seen things that I thought I healed come back up. And again, that doesn't necessarily mean it's good or bad. It just means that I have brought myself to a different level where I can see the situation differently and that I can heal it from a different angle. You know what I mean? But that's another fucking conversation because, again, like I think people do come into spirituality and healing and the modalities like breath work and stuff like that, thinking that it's like one spiritual retreat and you're healed for the rest of your life. And that is a very naive way to think about this.
It is.
And I think that if you go into something, if you go into investing into a mentor or a program or anything, thinking like, this is it. This is it. This is going to change my life. This is going to take away all my pain. This is going to take away all my suffering. You're the problem. Hate to break it to you. Hate to bring it to you. You have to go into things, into investments, into retreats, into breath work, into all of this with the simple thing of being like, this is exactly what I need right now.
Yeah.
This moment, this breath work experience, whatever's going to come up, it's what I'm ready for. It's what I need to know about. You know what I mean? That's how you have to look at all of this.
It is. And I'm going to add on to that too. Like, you're a breathwork facilitator. I'm a breathwork facilitator and a teacher trainer. So I certify students as well. And when they go through the breathwork program, it's not just an 8 week crunch. Yes, that's the very beginning of it, but you're getting classes for the rest of your life. It's an ongoing process. It's just like you're healing. It's an ongoing process. There's thousands of different breathing techniques, but what is the core of every breathwork technique? It's to regulate the nervous system. So just know that somebody's not going to be regulated all the time. Like, there are going to be instances where you're immediately put into fight or flight. But the good thing is, like, if you are consistent with your healing process, say like with breath work, belief coding, EFT tapping, things of that nature, even somatic exercising, I'm going to throw that in there as well. If you correlate all those together and you work on it on a daily basis, when you are in fight or flight, you are able to think more clearly and you are able to respond instead of react. And that's what I think a lot of people have a hard time even grasping onto, because like I was in therapy whenever I was a child. And I don't think that children should be in therapy. I think it's the parents that are ingraining really bad habits and poor decisions onto the children that is causing the child to behave in that way, right? So how a child behaves is actually how the child feels. And realistically, like, if you ask the parent, my child makes me feel anxious, well, it's because your child feels anxious. So it's like the two-headed coin in that situation. Like, it's just something that needs to be worked on all the time so you can respond instead of react. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's a big thing. It's funny that you brought that up because I think that that's really what it gives you, like somatic practices healing. Because when you're doing somatic practices, you can look a little weird. Like you sometimes you're banging on your chest, sometimes you're taking big inhales and you're making weird stuff, and sometimes I'm sure there's a thought that comes into your mind that's like, what is this doing? I look like a fool, right? But for me, I have noticed that exactly that when shit hits the fan, because shit will hit the fan, regardless of where you are on your healing journey, I am able to take a step back and respond rather than react. And that really, truly is a great gift to give yourself.
It's the best one you can give yourself. Because whenever you regulate your nervous system, the rest of the body can heal down to a mitochondria level. So it's like, if like I love people watching, I love it so much, even though I don't really like to go out in public and I don't like to talk to a lot of people, because I can tell when someone's completely dysregulated and they look like they're a chihuahua that's like twitching and fixing to bite someone. You know what I mean? There's so many people that walk around that way. And I notice how people breathe, and I'm always watching. Are they breathing with their belly? Are they breathing with their chest? Like, how many breaths are they taking per minute? Oh, they're almost at hyperventilation. No wonder why they have anxiety. It's just like one of those things where you are more aware of not only what goes on within your body, but everyone else's too. Like when I'm around my really good friends and they don't do breath work on a regular basis, they're just like, man, I'll fix it later. Like, I'll do it tomorrow or I'll start May 1st and stuff like that. Yeah, it's like those people, they are just so, they could be so much farther than where they are now if they would just lay down and fucking breathe. Like, I even tell people, you've done way harder things in your life than to lay down on the floor to breathe. You can do this. You just have to listen. That's all you have to do. You have to listen. Just let me guide you. It's not that hard.
I know. It's not that fucking hard, you know?
Not.
It's funny that you say that, 'cause I too, like, I love watching people. Like the first, like it really, I can sit in a park and just watch people. And I
Same.
do notice that. Like you can really notice very quickly who needs healing. Like
Yeah.
who is dysregulated, who is walking around like, you know, a big ball of stress, who, you know, and it breaks my heart because I know the tools that can help. You know what I mean? I know the tools that can help. You gotta breathe. Like that's the biggest thing is like you gotta breathe. You gotta let go of your, you know, you have to learn what your ego is. You have to understand that you're a soul having a human experience. You have to understand that you are not your emotions, and emotions are simply energy in motion. You know, don't give it any more power than what it is, because if you
Exactly.
do, you're like, forget it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you're literally going to be trained by your emotions. Your whole life is going to be whatever your emotions tell you that you are. And you know, it, like you said, it breaks my heart. It really does break my heart. And I can tell you, I can say, like, hey, listen, I got a free guided breath work. Like, give me your email and I'll send you it, you know, and I'll,
Yeah.
you know, but at the end of the day, another thing that I'm really truly learning at a deeper level than I've ever experienced before is that everybody is on their own journey.
They are.
Everybody is on their own journey. And I cannot get attached to the outcome of other people. And I think, too, this is something that all healers really have to look at eventually in their career, is that I think in the beginning, we're very attached to the outcomes that we're able to give as far as like breath work, right? Like anything, you know what I mean? Because we like to see that we're making an impact. We like to see that we are helping people and that we are helping them change their lives and feel better and do better. And it's quite literally none of our business what they do with the information that we give them.
Yep. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I know, it's like this sounds exhausting.
It is. And it's just like one of those, I love the phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make a drink. I love that phrase. And it's just so interesting to see like different modalities that are so ingrained within the American society, like therapy. It creates more trauma by making you have to relive the trauma, right? So energetically speaking, you're opening up a wound and you're allowing it to fester and putrefy, and then that person has to relive it. What I think that a lot of people cannot even fathom or comprehend right now is the fact that there are other modalities that are ancient practices that you can heal without even saying a word, like somatic exercising, breath work. There's EFT tapping, but you kind of have to do it in a way to where you aren't reliving your trauma. There's a specific way to do it, which is really cool. Emotion code chart. You can just associate or like just visually see what emotion it is. And you're just like, holy shit, yep, that's it. And release it. Like you don't have to go into the memories and down the deep subconscious to where it's just like you are so scared and so petrified. And then it messes up your entire mode. And I think that's what a lot of people really have a hard time grasping is like, you don't have to say a word. You know what I mean? You don't have to relive it. Like, they're like, what do you mean? I don't understand. This is what I've been taught my whole life. What are you talking about? I don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things where it's like also mind-blowing to people too. And it's just like, whenever you've been taught something as a child, or like society has been programmed something into you for so long, and then you see that there's different ways, or that's not how it has to be, everything around them shatters, and they're just like, I don't know what to believe anymore. And that's also what like a true healer, someone who does it on a daily basis, has to see and deal with. And then you get the trauma dump. You can get immediately trauma dumped on. So you got to be super careful. You have to learn your boundaries. You have to know what your boundaries are, and then go from there to be like, listen, all you have to do is lay here for 45 to 55 minutes and listen. That's all you got to do. Just breathe. Just let me guide you. And going through an experience like that, you see the transformation as they go on within the first 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 and 50. And then after that, they're like, I don't know what all just happened. My mind is completely blown, but I'll be back tomorrow. Like, there, it's just one of those types of things. So it's like, yes, you got to wait. And what's really nice about this purge is like a lot of people are now seeing the truth of what society has programmed into us to believing. And it's all shattering. I mean, it's all shattering. And for those who have been on a healing journey for a while, like I would say I've been online since my near-death experience in 2014, because that really got my ass in to be like, wow, this is not the way that life should be. I shouldn't be living this way. I need to go a different direction. And so what's really cool about the purge is like those who've been on a healing journey for a decade or so, or for longer than that even, let's just say that they are going through the purge, they're going through the ascension symptoms. Yes, is it bad? But it's not nearly as bad as what the very first one was going to be, right? It wasn't nearly as bad as the first one. We know how to ride the waves. We know what to do. We know how to take it easy. And like, I don't know how, if you purged yet or not, but whenever I was purging, it was like I have seizures, right? So it was like I'm seeing all the geometrical shapes every time I close my eyes. And it's still that way. It's still that way as of last night. So things are still happening. And it's so cool. I don't know if like you've ever done LSD or like well, you've done
I
microdosing, but like
microdose, yeah.
big doses of mushrooms, you see all the geometric shapes. You see all the amazing things that the plant medicine has to offer. And it's really cool to see that during an ascension period. When that goes on, like of course all the other symptoms suck really bad, but that is a really cool part of it. You know what I mean? So it's like you get to learn.
It's so funny that you said that because I had a client once that did mushrooms, and she kept on saying that she saw like sacred geometry, like when she was on it. She said like she saw like Metatron's cube, and she's just like, I've never had an experience like that. I'm like, that's so interesting that you literally said the same thing, that you literally see
Yeah,
all of that.
if I were an artist, all I'd have to do is just close my eyes and draw and paint. That's all I'd have to do. And I wish that I could even like articulate everything that I see, because it's like small. It's like what are those called? Fractals. Have you ever seen a fractal?
I think
With
so.
the oh my gosh. So a fractal is a shape. And no matter of what you zoom into, it's the exact same shape. So like a fractal, like you have, let's just say a circle with some very beautiful artwork on the outside of it. If you go into a different part of that fractal and zoom all the way in, say to 1,000%, and it goes into another fractal, it's just like one of those like Russian dolls where it just keeps going within himself, and it is the most beautiful thing in the world. There's a documentary on Prime, it's called Inner Worlds and Outer Worlds, and they talk
I've
about
seen
fractals
it.
on there. It's amazing. But like the fractals and the movement that they see within inner and outer worlds, that's what I see during an ascension symptom. That's one of the symptoms that I have, is complete geometric shapes. And it's not uncommon for me to see that on a regular basis. And I don't know if it's tied to my near-death experience, because I still have like that strong connection on that, or if it's like, just the ascension sometimes, or am I seizing? Like it can be all three of those together, and I just don't know which one it is. So it's very interesting, like how all of it works out. It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it really is.
You have to do a high dose of mushrooms at least once.
I know. I
At
know.
least once. Because let
Yeah.
me tell you what, like you could be puking all over the place, but you see like the most beautiful, like zucchini looking vine coming out of like the area that you're sitting in, and you're just like, wow, this is so cool. And you don't even mind vomiting. Like you're just like, this is so amazing. And the level and the waves that you ride, the first wave is always the best. Because like the first time I took 8.33 grams, I was just like in these clouds. And all I hear is like these Pegasus pulling a carriage with what looks like Gandalf the Grey from Lord of the Rings. And it's just flying through rainbows. And I'm like, this is amazing. And that was the first wave. And it's so cool what you can see in the different strains that you can take. And all the different strains have different things. But I highly recommend growing your own if you do.
Yeah, that's my
Yeah.
biggest thing. I've been using Golden Rule, who I am pretty fond of, and I've been using Golden Teacher,
Yes.
that strain, and I feel like I need to try a different strain. And I just ordered Avery Albino. So Avery Albino is very connected to intuition and, spiritual connection. So I'm like, I don't know what's gonna happen with this, because I think I might up my dose as well, just for the simple fact that I think I'm getting immune to the dose that I'm taking. But I was being like, I really feel like I've never been guided to ayahuasca, believe it or not. Have you ever done ayahuasca?
I
I've
won't do
just
that one.
never, they always say like you get the call. Right? Like, if it's for you. I've never gotten that call and I'm okay with it.
I'm
I
okay
love
with that too,
that
yeah.
it can bring so much transformation for people. Like, I'm all for it, but I never received the call myself. And I got the call for microdosing for like, I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna try it. And like, holy shit, I'm like, wow, this is absolutely incredible. Like, psilocybin is quite literally just God. I don't know what other way to describe the experience. But yeah, like as soon as I started microdosing and seeing the benefits within days, like just seeing how it was transforming my brain, I was like, this is the first time in 37 years where I'm like, I think I want to do a ceremony. Like, I think I want to do a mushroom ceremony and like experience this on a deeper level. And I'm like, oh my God. Holy shit. Like, this is a lot coming from me. 'Cause like I said, I've never done more than just marijuana. Like, I've never even done cocaine in my life. Like, I've just never been guided to it. So like saying this at 37 years old, I always say like, do not think your age means anything. Because I've gotten like a lot of women who are in their 50s or even in their late 40s, and they're like, I'm too old for that. You're not fucking old. Like, stop.
No.
Like, age is just a number. You can experience whatever the hell you want to experience. But yeah, that's funny you brought that up, because I'm like, I think I want to do a ceremony.
For people who do ceremonies who want to really do the deep work, I always recommend 5 grams or above. Reason being is because like you have a regular dose, which most people take is like 1 gram, and then you have another dose, which is your 3 grams, which is a very popular gram to take around as well. But if you want to do deep healing work, you're going to do the shamanic, which is 5 grams, or you can go above that and do deep soul level work and really have a true profound experience where you could be good for like 6 months. Like when I remember the first time I took my first high dose, I didn't cease for like a month. It's so amazing because like I was on so many different medications for seizures and it was all like interacting with one another and I couldn't function like I'm functioning with you right now. So even holding a conversation was very hard for me back then. But my first dose of psilocybin I took, I think it was like 4.6 something grams, and I didn't seize for an entire month. And I was used to having like 17 seizures a day. So it was amazing of like you notice like the different parts of your brain too that are completely different. It's like the ganglia in the back of your brain is really working and allowing your prefrontal cortex to completely rest. Because so many people who, let's just say, abuse survivors, their prefrontal cortex may not even function properly. So majority of the time they live only right here. So if you have an amazing medicine, an amazing fungi that can help you just with like different connections within the brain and also give your prefrontal cortex a rest, holy shit, can you imagine how many people would really benefit from that?
I know.
It will take you to like a whole nother level. A whole nother level.
How long did you trip for?
The first time it was for 8 and 8.5 hours. I only do it at night and I only do it by myself because I'm too energetically sensitive for other people. And if I see someone with energy, that's not good. And this is why I don't believe with within the medical research of how they're doing psilocybin within labs or hospitals. Hospitals are a very dark place, and it's a very like people go there to get sick. You don't go to a hospital to get better. You go there to get sick, right? So like I don't you got to be in the right space. You can't be around other people, and of course like me can't be around other people. So you want to be in an environment to one where you feel good and you feel comfortable, because if you don't feel comfortable in the space that you're in, you're gonna have that trip. Because you're just like you're hypersensitive, aware, you're reading energy all the time. You could be like how you can just be looking at a plant and it's talking to you. And you don't know what that plant is trying to say, but because you're having a bad trip and you can't focus on the message, right? I think that people that go into plant medicine, they need to do it with the right intention, and they need to do it within a ceremony. Like I guide people through ceremonies because I know that at least I know where my energy stands and what not to bring to the table. So if someone's super anxious and they're just like, oh yeah, I'm a healer, I'm gonna guide this person through a plant medicine ceremony, and then their energy is absolute shit and they're like tweaking out because they had too much caffeine, I don't want anything to do with that person. There's no way I'm going to allow them in that sacred space. So it's just one of those things where, like, be very specific on what you want to do, and who you do it with,
Yeah.
because that is not a medicine to mess around with. It is not an experience to mess around with.
No.
But I promise you that if you do it correctly, you will have a deep, profound experience, and you will have more gratification towards like the plants and the animals and even the wind. It's so
Oh my
interesting.
God,
Like,
yeah.
yeah.
Even at the microdose level, even at the microdose level, I'm like, I love every blade of grass in my lot.
Yes. Even like the angel wings behind you, you can look at
Yeah.
them and they will feel like feathers. Like if you take a high enough dose and you feel them, it will feel like feathers. Or like I have Great Pyrenees, so whenever I was tripping, those are all my dogs. And they literally felt like clouds. I was like, oh my God, it's like I'm seeing this for the first time. It was the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's funny that you brought that up because the biggest thing when it comes to microdosing is intention.
Yeah.
It's quite literally intention. And before every time you take the medicine, you have to set your intention. And I can tell you this is a highly intelligent form of plant medicine. Psilocybin is brilliant. You can't pull one over on it because I can go, and there have been days where I have taken psilocybin and my intention was something. I think I had the intention to really focus in on why I'm not actively writing my second book. Like, I just have no motivation for it, right? So I said, fine, let me know, like, why can't I focus? No, my intention was to focus and start writing the introduction. That was it. You get what you need with this medicine. You're going to get what you need because I wanted to start writing. What I got was all of the subconscious fears that I was holding on to when it comes to writing a book, when it comes to putting myself out there in a more I don't want to say transparent, but more out there. My witch wound came up. I was like, oh my God. So instead of sitting there and writing that I thought was going to happen, I thought I was just going to get so super hyper fixated focused, because that's another thing that happens when it comes to microdosing. I didn't get that. I sat there on my couch and I was like, oh my God, I'm in my feelings now. Like, what is going on? And the things that come up, like the best thing that I can tell you is like, there is no looking the other way when these things come up. You need to face it head on. You need to face it head on. And you get what you need. You definitely get what you need. That's for sure.
What I love about psilocybin is it will only show you what you are ready for. So you'll experience this whenever you do a high dose. It will only show you what you are ready for. And it won't go any deeper than that until you have, quote unquote, healed, acknowledged, forgiven yourself for what you are experiencing during that time. And it's a really beautiful way to really like, it's like that gentle mother that majority of people never got. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm here for you and I always see you and I feel you, but you don't always see me. And it's just one of those amazing experiences that I highly recommend to everybody.
Yeah. Now, did you like with your trip, did you cry? Did you
Oh,
purge?
all the above. So I've been doing high doses since 2019. And first I was doing it just to help stop my seizures because again, it was like 17 in a day and I couldn't function. So I really got into it. And then the first dose that I took, it helped me realize that my ex-husband was a piece of shit. And everything that I've been holding in and denying was all right there in it. It was literally killing me. It was making me more sick. And I was like, I gotta get out. Either I'm gonna commit suicide and I'm exiting the soul contract immediately, or like I'm gonna have to get through this. So all that I kept thinking about like during that time was, okay, like I told Archangel Raphael, like I'll come back to this body and do the work that I need to. I can't break a promise to an archangel. So it's just one of those things where it's like you gotta continue and do it and face your fears.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that I was denying because I grew up that like you stayed married no matter what. Like that's what I grew up with. And that is not a good way to live. And no matter what happens within the marriage, like you gotta stay married. Like that's not a good way to live at all. So exited that marriage and did so much more deep healing work after that that it allowed me to really like understand what went on within my body and within like my whole near death experience and what led up to that. So like I've had six surgeries, right? And in that same ceremony, after I got done bawling my eyes out because I realized that my ex-husband's a piece of shit and it broke my heart and he just stomped on it. After I was done with that, I was like, okay, where is this affecting me physically? So like I started to go like this on my cheeks, my neck, and I even went on my stomach. And like that is one area that I do not like touch, even like putting my hand on my belly to breathe for breath work. I don't like doing it because it's sensitive. So I went like this and I saw like almost a lightning bolt go right into my gallbladder area. And I don't have a gallbladder anymore. So I just sat there and I bawled my eyes out because I missed my gallbladder. Like that was something that never should have been taken away. It should have been healed. But I couldn't heal it during that time. It was already taken out. So it was so interesting, like how you can mourn and grieve organs that used to be there. I guided a woman one time where she had a decent pregnancy, but she had like a C-section and she grieved the fact that she had to have a C-section and she couldn't have her child naturally. So it was like what she expected did not go as planned. So she went through that whole grieving process and she didn't realize everything that was going on just right within her womb. So it's very interesting on like what you can learn just within one session. But like I said,
Yeah.
it's a whole 8 hours. And a lot of it is really fun and a lot of it can be very deep healing. It's just what your intention is during that time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It feels like That's so incredible, though.
Feel it in the heart, don't you?
Yeah,
It's
no,
like,
I definitely feel it in the heart, but it's also like I can definitely resonate with that woman where she sometimes we think the problem is one thing. You know, that was another thing that I've experienced with my psilocybin journey is that you think the problem is this. You're so fixated that the problem is this, but it's not. It's something around it. It's around that. It's the mask. You know, you think the mask is the problem, but the mask isn't the problem. The problem is hidden below it or to the side of it. And that's something too that I think that's why microdosing and this, you know, psilocybin is just it's so incredibly intelligent. It's so I that's the best way I can describe it because it's so intelligent and it just knows exactly what the problem is. And you may not ever think that that was the problem, right? But then you're realizing like, oh yeah, it was actually.
And there's some things that can be tied to it that's completely that you feel that's completely unrelated, but it'll be connected. It's all connected. Yeah, it's really cool. There's an amazing strain, it's called Amazonian. So if you can get a hold of that and grow your own on that one, it's amazing.
Oh man. Oh geez. Okay.
It's amazing.
This
Yeah, that's
conversation went from like one place to the other, but I'm
I do
here
have to
for
say
it.
though, yeah, so if you are going through the ascension symptoms, you know, I'm not into microdosing. I never really have been. I know a lot of people that really benefit from it. I'm a very go big or go home type person. Like, we're gonna face it head on and we're gonna get it done. So if you are that type of person, do a bigger dose, and like during or after an ascension, you will see things in a completely different light. Even if you microdose, you can still see things in a completely different light. It's just so much that you can learn.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think too, like for me, it was, you know, I've been doing breath work for years now, and I've been meditating for years, and they're so powerful and they're so incredibly healing, but you get immune to it. You know what I mean? Like, you definitely get immune to breath work, and it wasn't working for me. You know, the biggest reason why I chose to microdose was for the simple fact that I couldn't get out of my seasonal affective disorder. Like, it was really affecting me. And I went, the first thing I go to is breath work. I just do it more. I do it for longer. I tried, you know, going more deeper into meditation, and it just still really wasn't shaking it off. So sometimes it is like psilocybin really allows you to look at things differently. It
Are you
really
taking
does.
it in the day or at night?
The morning.
Oh, do it at night.
I want to sleep.
You will, but
I
I'm
will.
telling you what, so much will work out while you sleep. Like, whenever I take high doses, I only do it at night. Reason being, and I like to do it during the full moon, after I've done a really good parasite cleanse, because you have all those parasites that rush to your intestines and eat up your serotonin. Well, what does psilocybin do? It activates the serotonin. So you don't want parasites eating your while you're trying to have a really good trip, right? So before or a month before the I want to take a huge ceremony, I'll do a 30-day parasite cleanse, and then I'll do a big dose. So it's like it takes all that trauma and all that gunk out, and then you could really have like a deep, profound experience. But you will notice amazing things during that time, even on a parasite cleanse. And then you do so you start microdosing after a parasite cleanse. Holy shit, you are gonna have an amazing experience.
Oh my God.
Yeah, because
Jeez.
parasites, they love trauma. That's what they eat. They're there for the negativity. They're such a low vibration, and they're just all throughout the body. Like when there's only one company now that I would do for the rest of my life, and it's because of like how not only gentle but like how amazing the benefits were for it for the parasite cleanse. Like, my skin broke out. I look like a meth head. I'm not even hitting. It was so broke out all over my arms, my body, my back. I posted it all on social media. Of course I did. So after I did the 60 days of that cleanse, I did a big dose and I noticed a completely different healing experience, not only emotionally, but spiritually, and I'm just more mentally clear after that 60 days. But it's, yeah.
Was this the Robin's Hood one that you did?
Yes, girl. Yes, amazing. Rogers Hood Apothecary is the
Yeah.
only parasite cleanse I would do from here on out. I won't do anything else. And I've done so many different parasite cleanses since 2016, but none of them have shown the results with Rogers Hood Apothecary. I'm like, you guys take the cake. Here, just take all my money. Send me a subscription like every quarter. So, and I cleanse three times a year, three, four times a year.
Oh my
So it's
God.
not, yeah. So whenever I'm looking like a meth head, I was like, those other parasite cleanses didn't do a thing. They didn't do anything compared to what Rogers Soda Apothecary is doing. I'm like, I need to do this. But yeah, amazing,
I
amazing
have
results.
it. That's the crazy thing is like I have, yeah, but I didn't, I don't think I followed through with it. Like it was
Okay.
just, I had Cinnabon, I think it was called.
Yes,
And
the
then,
charcoal.
yeah, and the couple, and I did it. I think I did it for maybe 7 days, but I just, you know, it's one of those things where you just kind of it falls off. But then I remember seeing you doing that and doing the bath, and I was like, what the fuck is she doing?
The fulvic acid bath. Yes, you
Yeah.
have to. Girl, let me tell you, like I have hypermobile, I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, so I can fit my body in weird positions and I can put my whole entire body except for my head underneath. And I swear if I could just hold my breath for like 40 minutes underneath of the water, I guarantee all of them would have popped out of my scalp and my eyeballs too. Like it was insane. All of the parasites that are so, that you think are microscopic, like they will pop right out in your skin. It's disgusting.
Ew. Oh my
It's
God.
disgusting. I know. So like I was in where was I at? Butler Beach, and I just got done with my parasite cleanse. And all I can think about is like, do I really want to walk barefoot right now? Because I know the parasites are in there. And I pick up a seashell, shit you not, there are two parasites in it. And I'm like,
Oh my God.
and I messaged the owner, Kim, and I was like, I don't know if I should be here. I really love the ocean and I really love the beach, and it's just, I'm very called to the ocean. And I was like, I don't really want to be here because I can, like, I don't want any parasites going into my body at this point. Like, I just got done on a 60-day
Oh my
cleanse.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're doing a parasite cleanse, like Rogers said, Apothecary, you gotta take those tinctures three times a day and then the Cinnabon at night. So set an alarm. Like, that's what I did
Yeah,
just
I
to keep
wasn't
myself
doing it three times a
consistent.
day. I wasn't doing it three times
Oh,
a day.
girl.
So I need to
Yeah.
like actually, how long did you do it for?
60 days.
60 days.
Yeah,
Holy shit.
60 days because
Okay.
I was still breaking out on day 29 and I messaged Kim. I said, hey, I have another kit. I feel like just going extending this. And she's like, yeah, you're completely safe to do so. I said, awesome. So I did 60 days and then I was down in Butler Beach and I saw that and I was like, I don't think I can be here. I didn't go to the beach after that. I left. I was like,
Oh my
I just did
God.
all this work. Worked my ass off, did all these tinctures, ate alkaline food, which is, I love eating alkaline, but whenever you are on a parasite cleanse, it will be the most beneficial if you eat alkaline because parasites do not like alkaline food. They love
Interesting.
acidic. They love acid. They love food like products. They love sugar. They love alcohol. So if you are a person who's addicted to alcohol or sugar, or you feel like that you need that quote unquote caffeine at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, get on a parasite cleanse and I guarantee you're going to see a huge change within yourself. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was an amazing talk, as always. Like, I'm
Always.
like, we literally went from one thing to the other. I love it. These are always like the best episodes for the simple fact that we like cover so much ground. And these are the ones that like people are like, I really needed to hear this conversation. So I'm so happy that. And I also like that you have a completely different routine or ritual when it comes to psilocybin as than I do. You know what I mean? So
Yeah.
you're literally seeing it from someone who does high doses and someone who does little doses every single day. But yeah. Oh, and then another thing, guys, Allie is kind enough to give everybody 10% off of mazemystics.com. Everything's going to be in the show notes for you. Go ahead and grab yourself some kyanite there. Use code intuitive for 10% off. It expires on June 30th. Allie, it's always a pleasure.
It is. Thank you so much.
Thank you.